I'm Kristen Hetzel, co-host of Dining at Disney podcast. Every week, I chat about dining at Disneyland and Walt Disney World Resort and Disney Cruise Line with my fellow foodie, Bubba. We also feature restaurants and food reviews, information to help you plan your dining, Disney food news, recipes, and a monthly panel discussion. Visit diningatdisney.com and subscribe to Dining at Disney podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, or your favorite podcast platform. Dining at Disney podcast, the happiest plate on earth.
Welcome in to yet another early edition of the Disney List. Welcome. Waiting for everybody to join us in the chat. Once again, you want to catch the Disney List going live on Facebook, be sure to click that bell for notifications so you can join us for the live show and interact with Kristen and myself. And before we get started, Kristen, what are we going to be tackling on today's show?
We are talking about Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser and Disneyland's Magic Key program, The Neat Nodes.
Yes, that is the list for today. Before we get started, Kristen, people have been, you know, emailing and messaging us just nonstop about the cruise lines coming back. They've also been hitting us up about booking their Disney vacation or their Universal vacation, and you are the person to do it. So, how can they contact you?
You can email me at themeparksandcruises@gmail.com.
Why should they contact you to book their next vacation?
Because I will find them the best rate and save them money. And really, isn't that what everybody wants? To save money?
Yes.
And then on top of that, if there you have any issues, you don't have to deal with it. You just call me and you tell me, like, hey, I'm having this problem. Can you help me? And I'm like, yeah, I gotcha.
Can you help me? Help. I need help. I need to save money. And I need to not be aggravated every time I'm put on a 2-hour hold because you get to do that for them. Right?
It hung up on me.
Oh, my goodness. Well,
luckily, when I called back, though, I got in like 10 minutes, which was very strange.
Yeah, it was very strange. I even offered my phone. I'm sitting here working from home remotely. And I'm like, Kristen, grab my phone, because not only have you been booking Disney, and thank you if you are, you know, having Kristen book your trip, because that's what we do this whole thing for. We do all of our podcasts because we want to definitely, promote the travel for Kristen, but also the Carnival Cruise Line and a lot of cruise lines are coming back online, which means people are ready to get out of their house and
this month, a lot of cruise lines went back to sailing.
Absolutely. So,
and I'll tell you, they're running some great, great deals if you were looking to cruise.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about that last week on the Disney List, but be sure to follow this space here at the Disney List, and you know, we'll keep you updated every week with the latest and greatest. Or you can just hit up Kristen once again. What is the email address where people can do that?
Themeparksandcruises@gmail.com.
Let's get this show on the road.
The following is a production of the Sorcerer Radio Network.
Fun imagination, huh?
Ladies and gentlemen.
Broadcasting from the Tiki Room Studios in Music City.
It's the Disney List.
The Disney List.
You've got to have characters that the audience, the viewer, the reader cares about.
What makes a hero? What's friendship? What's the idea of sacrificing yourself for something larger?
With the hope that it will be a source of joy and inspiration to all the world.
Disney List on Sorcerer Radio with your hosts, Kristen and Al John. Live from Music City, thank you for tuning in to yet another edition of the Disney List, where every week we count down our favorite Disney things. Could be from the theme parks, could be from Marvel, Star Wars, or we just simply give you a list of things and need to know, like what we're doing this week with Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser and the Magic Key program. My name's Al John Go, lifelong Disney, Marvel, Star Wars fan, pop culturist, and I'm so happy you could join us on the show, joined by my lovely and talented co-hostess, Miss Dining at Disney.com and world-renowned traveler, globetrotter, if you will, when she's not taking care of everything under the sun for everyone. She is definitely a superwoman Kristen.
Hi.
If you had any Marvel power, superpower, what would it be?
Ooh. Can I take from X-Men?
Any superpower, yes.
Okay, so I have to go with Wolverine's self-healing.
Oh, I like that.
That's it.
You'd almost live forever. You'd be an immortal at that point.
But as accident prone as I am, I wouldn't have bruises all over me and cuts on my hands. And
this is
yeah,
true.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that would be a super cool power for somebody like me.
You'd be like Deadpool and just grow a new limb. You'd start off with a little baby limb, and then all of a sudden you'd have the big baby limb. Isn't that weird?
No, I don't want that.
Ryan
I don't want
Reynolds.
It to grow. I don't want to be something that grows back body parts. No,
exactly what Wolverine has. Wolverine has the same power as Deadpool because Deadpool had the same Weapon X experimentation on his genes, right? So he has the regeneration power. In the comics, if Wolverine got a limb chopped off, he would grow another one. Crazy. Anyway, but that's why he has an adamantium skull. Hey, look. Or bones. That's why I'm so geeky, gang. I'm so geek. Thank you for that. I think I'd be like Professor X and have mind control, you know? Or my superpower as a billionaire playboy philanthropist, also like Tony Stark, except not as self-absorbed. That would be kind of cool. I'd like to have Tony Stark money.
Who wouldn't?
That means we could afford to go on the Galactic Star Cruiser with the kiddos. Well, anyway, gang, thank you all for tuning in. We go live on Facebook every week. Be sure to click that bell for notifications. You can check out the entire backlog of shows there at thedisneylist.com. But we are going to be talking to you about the must-knows about the Galactic Star Cruiser for Star Wars at Walt Disney World Resort, as well as the AP program that they're calling Magic Key for Disneyland. So we're going to delve into that here right after we talk about this. I have this news bed. That's it. That's the right one. Hey, we talked a lot about Disney versus Scarlett Johansson in this Black Widow lawsuit.
Yes.
You know, they have the, Scarlett and her team, they have to honor their side of the contract, which is Disney, has to honor that. And that it's a matter of principle. I don't think she wanted to do it, but she did it. And I think a lot of people are going crazy over the past 2 weeks about it because it talks about how streaming takes away from their back end points that are negotiated in their deal for Scarlett and for the cornerstone of the MCU to be treated this way by Disney. We love Disney, but we can hold their feet to the flame and the fire on this. That was just wrong of them to issue that statement, which is bad,
Yeah.
So, yeah, and it's continuing on. So what is it here? A lawyer representing the Walt Disney Company in its battle against Scarlett Johansson defended Disney's distribution of Black Widow, saying Disney will seek to fight for the courts to arbitration, saying the lawsuit is manifestly wrong in every respect, said attorney Dan Petrocelli of Mrs. Johansson's recently filed lawsuit. The alleged contract was breached when Disney last month released the movie Black Widow on its Disney Plus streaming service at the same time as its theatrical debut. In Mrs. Johnson's suit, and this is coming to us from Fox Business News, she claimed Disney Marvel Entertainment guaranteed an exclusive theatrical release with her bonuses paid on the movie's box office performance, making the movie available on Disney Plus. Her potential bonuses were greatly reduced, the suit said. And Disney and Marvel, she alleged, were obliged to renegotiate the deal and compensate for the potential damage to the box office. The Disney lawyer countered in an interview Friday that her contract contained no such guarantees, which I find highly doubtful. Quote, there are no limitations or constraints on the company's judgment on how to distribute Black Widow, Mr. Petrocelli said. The contract explicitly gives the studio complete control and decision-making over the distribution of the movie. The terms of her contract for a confidential arbitration proceeding to resolve any disputes also said. Mrs. Johansson privately said that the arbitration clause does not apply in this case. Her lawyer responded Friday that if Disney genuinely believed what its lawyers now claim, it would have welcomed having the dispute decided in open court instead of aligning to hide its misconduct from the public in a confidential arbitration. So once again, this is going to have ripples across the entire entertainment world because, Warner Brothers decided to pull out earlier
during the pandemic and make all of their films available streaming only and did not tell any of the theater owners and totally made everyone mad. But apparently they had negotiated behind closed doors with all the talent, actors, directors, everybody involved, producers, about what was going on and worked out deals in advance. They just didn't tell the theater goers, which we're like, oh, that's bad. But in this case, you know, Disney said, oh, we're going to do theatrical releases as well as day and date and thought everything was cool. Come to find out, Scarlett's contract said, you're not supposed to do this. And they tried to, I guess, settle it quietly, but opted to take it public. And this would never happen under Bob Iger. Bob Iger would have just nailed it. But Bob Chapek apparently is he and his crew are doing some interesting things. And it looks like the shareholders meeting is going to happen here in a few days. And I'm sure somebody's heads are going to roll. We're talking about this on Skull Rock Podcast with Dave Bossert, our sister show. A sacrificial lamb may be happening in this case. So, yeah, it's bad. It's bad. But at any rate, it is what it is. We'll have more information on this, as it happens. But it just sucks. You know, Kevin Feige, they're saying Black Widow is a failure. And I would say it's not a failure, but of course it makes Kevin Feige look bad as well. What do you expect? I mean, the film industry is just now recovering from the whole, you know, pandemic, and this happens. And I think the movie was quite a success. Disney was very proud of the movie money that it's made so far on their streaming platform. So
anyway. I don't know. It's a mess.
It's an entire mess, you know, but once again, let's just blame the pandemic. Shall we? Let's do that. We can do that. Let's talk about this magic key situation, Kristen. So we talked about this on Dining at Disney and you, were not available to check that out. For Magic Key, but is it as cracked up as everyone says it's going to be, you know, with Magic Key?
I don't know. I mean, it's interesting how they're doing these new tiers of passes. And they say it gives flexibility and value.
That's what they say.
However, the price of the one that includes the top tier one is extremely expensive.
All right, let's check this out. For the uninitiated, thank you for tuning in, by the way, on Sorcerer Radio. Thank you for tuning into the show. We're pleased, they say on Disney Parks blog when they release this, they're pleased to introduce the Magic Key program, which is a new guest-centric offering that will deliver choice, flexibility, and value for park admission, special access to unique experiences, valuable saving opportunities, and so much more. There will be four options of Magic Key passes to provide our guests and their families with choices that fit various needs and lifestyle preferences for how they wish to visit the Disneyland Resort. So let's do, and so the key holders, you can become a charter member key holder starting August 25th, just a few days away. You can visit disneyland.com/magic key for calendars and important details. So plans, as you said, Kristen, there are four plans starting from $399. And you want to go ahead and read what this is all about, starting at the $399 Imagine Key tier?
Yes. It says reservations based admission to one or both theme parks select days of the year. It's available to Southern California residents only, up to two park reservation holds at a time. You get 10% off select merchandise as well as food and beverage.
Okay. The next tier
is the Enchanted Key. Again, reservation-based admission to one or both theme parks on select days of the year. This one, you get up to four park reservation holds at a time and also 10% off select merchandise, food, and beverage.
And by the way, California residents can opt to do a 12-month payment plan for that, which is really good for any of these tiers. Apparently. All right. The next tier is $949, which equals $65 a month for 12 months for California residents after the $179 down payment. But you can get the Believe Key, Kristen.
This one is up to six park reservation holds at a time, 10% off select merchandise, food and beverage, and 50% off theme park parking, which tells you that the other tickets do not include any parking or any discount on your parking.
Yep. All right. And the most expensive tier, the Dream Key. Don't you love this cast system that they're doing there at Disney? The cast system.
Yeah.
It starts at $13.99. That is 1399.00, y'all. That's $102 per month for 12 months with a $179 down payment for California residents, Kristen.
Yes, and this one, you get up to 6 park reservation holds at a time. The big difference in this key versus the Believe is that you get 20% off select merchandise and 15% off select food and beverage, and theme park parking is included. So this is going to be my comment on this.
Okay.
Okay. $13.99 for Disneyland and Disney California Adventure parks. Mm-hmm. In 2015, we had the park admission for both Walt Disney World and Disneyland.
Yes.
The pretty gold card, and it didn't cost this much. And we had admission to 6 parks for less than that cost.
In 2015.
Mm-hmm. That was only 6 years ago.
Yep.
And I believe this is what a year or two ago was the cost of that global passport between the 2 parks.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And it's all reservation based.
Yep.
I'm dreading this coming to Walt Disney World. It requires too much planning for people. Not everybody wants to plan every single minute and second of their life. I don't. It's nice to be able to wing things. And now you're asking your pass holders who are typically local and kind of like to do things as they feel, now have to plan out everything.
So here's the Magic Key theme park reservation system. So their theme park reservation system is a corner component of the Key program as part of their effort to provide a great experience for all guests. Magic Key holders will take advanced reservations to enjoy Disneyland and DCA on an available date. They'll be able to hold certain number of upcoming reservations depending on the pass type. There's your planning component. Additional offers and benefits. Magic Key holders will have an access to an array of special offerings, such as valuable saving opportunities for merchandise, food, and beverage throughout the year. And they'll be able to enjoy those benefits during dining experience, custom menu items at Magic Key Terrace, special offerings at festivals just for key holders, and a key holder celebration month plus unique surprises. You'll be able to get into a special portal in the Disneyland app for more deeply engagement through the community of key holders in the future. Then you can be a charter member. So for a limited time, they'll celebrate charter members that become key holders within the first 66 days of the DLR, Disneyland Resort. These guests will receive a welcome package that will include unique items such as a branded pin, celebratory button, magnet, and more. Plus, key holders who enter Disneyland will also be celebrated with an access to limited time experiences at Starcade in Tomorrowland, which begins on September 1, where they can enjoy charging stations, special photo op, and other fun surprises. So welcome into your special photo op, just like a Disney Visa, and opportunity to charge yourself. Which, by the way, you know, you get all kinds of things if you're an annual pass holder, if you're at Walt Disney World, because you get magnets at Epcot and different things like that, as well as a photo op for Disney Visa. You get a bunch of that stuff as well. So get this. So you'll be able to purchase your key pass, Magic Key, August 25th, no earlier than 10 a.m. Pacific time. They'll be able to get their different types and the opportunity to unlock a visit to Disneyland or DCA that same day. So interesting stuff. And there is the fine print. Get this. Some pass benefits and features may not be available during periods of limited capacity. Park experience and offerings may have been modified and are subject to limited availability or even closure. Please check Disneyland.com updates for more information before visiting the resort. The number of theme park reservations that can be held at a specific time or specific booking window is dependent on the pass type and restrictions. You have to present your key to get those discounts. Parking benefit is valid for discounted parking for one standard vehicle only. Parking is not guaranteed and is subject to capacity and blockout dates. And my understanding too is that these are non-refundable. So even if the park closes for the pandemic, they're not obligated to give your money back or prorate.
That's a lot of money you'd be out.
Yep. So I don't know. Hey, by the way, Joan and Lindsay are joining us. And Joan says the SoCal Key has the most weekends blacked out. Lindsay says, I'm worried about the Fast Pass and how that's going to be expensive. Well, I'm sure. I mean, there's all kinds of things that this new era of Disney, the CHAPAC administration, is bringing toward the resort, as it were, in terms of nickel and diming guests to death. But I will say that in the basic law of economics, there is that supply and demand. Right now, there is some supply and huge demand. And Disney, being a top tier, you know, premium experience, you know, they're top shelf. It's not Six Flags, guys. But, you know, they're seeing and testing the waters and how far,
you know,
they'll be able to charge before things start dropping off.
And what that could do, depending on how much Disney decides to push all this stuff with its parks, you may be pushing people to visit Universal, where annual passes are significantly less.
Well, that's one reason why we ended up getting annual passes.
Oh, yeah, because it costs less to get an annual pass than to make two trips there. I mean, it's their annual passes and were very inexpensive for an annual pass.
I think what they're seeing is so many people wanting to get into Disneyland that they are really, you know, making the gate, you know, making sure that, you know, they have people in there to have that type of experience they want. My thing is, if they're going to charge this much, it better be outstanding. It better just be outstanding. And, you know, we talk about this a lot because obviously you book Disney trips and everything like that. And we want to make sure that we talk about all the ins and outs of everything and how we feel about it. And, you know, we definitely want to go to the Disneyland Resort and may have that option, you know, coming up this coming year. Especially if I'm going to the West Coast this year, could be a very interesting time, you know, to do these kind of things. But, I mean, who knows what's going to happen. You know, what I do know is that it's expensive. It's super expensive.
They're pricing people out of being able to afford, which is sad.
But, you know, also, you know, being the premium experience it is, not everybody can do that. I mean, you know, the research had said that, you know, families typically visit the resort, any of the Disney theme parks, at least once every 5 years, if at all, you know. So that's one of the things I know that, you know, an annual pass holders are the lifeblood that gives those parks, especially Disneyland, DCA. They're the lifeblood that keeps those parks going.
Yeah.
It's the locals. So what do you think about this? What do you think about the Magic Key? If you're part of the Disneyland Frequent Travelers Club, feel free to let us know in the chat. Lindsay says the administration is getting away from what Walt wanted, a place to go for people of all. And I think that she meant all ages. Yeah, I mean, it was meant to be a family park that families could go to enjoy each other and their company, and moving away from some of those core values.
It's a lot about money.
It is.
And I get that they lost a lot of money last year. Everybody did. You're now giving people who had a difficult year, you're telling them that, well, now that you're planning on rebooking that trip that got canceled, you can't afford it. And
so,
that's a bummer.
Yeah, it's a bummer. It definitely is a bummer. So I tell you what isn't a, speaking of cash grabs, can we just transition to that? Yeah, we can transition to that, right? Why not?
We've traveled to the far reaches of the galaxy. We got recruited by the Resistance, and now we're ready.
Come on, Dad! We gotta go save the ship!
No. We're gonna save the galaxy.
Okay, I gotta stop that before the IP protection police hit me up for using John Williams' score. So the Galactic Star Cruiser teaser video was played, released this week, and details about the Galactic Star Cruiser, a two-night immersive adventure voyages, begin spring 2022. This is not for the faint of heart when it comes to the price tag. And
this experience is meant for the people who can afford the Plaid to be their tour guides.
All right. So let me read the press release here. See it, feel it, live it. Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser is a revolutionary two-night experience where you can be the hero. You and your group will embark on a first-of-its-kind Star Wars adventure that is your own. It's the most immersive Star Wars story ever created, one where you live a bespoke experience and journey further into the Star Wars adventure than you ever dreamed possible. Arrive at the Walt Disney World Resort Terminal, board a launch pod, and rendezvous with magnificent Halcyon Star Cruiser. Stay in a cabin or suite with an exquisite view of space. Throughout the ship, you'll interact with an eclectic collection of characters, sit down to play an exotic game or galactic cuisine, or perhaps even plot a secret mission together. As the itinerary continues, you'll take the story further and deeper. Choose your path. Seek out the inner workings of the legendary starship. Learn traditional art of wielding a lightsaber. And even jump a transport to the planet of Batuu, where your mission continues at Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. So there you go, Kristen. You can experience your own Star Wars story. And, you know, so there are some things that we took note in the trailer that they launched. First of all, that the characters that you will interact with are, they all have their story, backstory. They're dressed up like the characters in the movie. This is super immersive. This is exactly what they promised us from the promise of Star Wars Galaxy's Edge when they made that announcement at D23 years ago. Total immersement, entering your own, as they always say, your own Star Wars story,
mm-hmm.
right? Interacting with people, the natives, the starship, and bounty hunters, and scallywags, and everybody, and droids, and aliens everywhere throughout the galaxy aboard this starship. But now, in order for you to experience your own Star Wars adventure, you have to pay out the ass for it. So let's talk about... So what do you get for that? Do you want to talk about what's included? Kristen?
You have a two-night stay in a cabin or suite.
Yep.
Ongoing immersive and interactive entertainment where choices determine your experience. Food and beverages on the Star Cruiser, excluding alcohol and specialty beverages. And a quick service meal at Docking Bay 7 Food and Cargo or other select locations at Disney's Hollywood Studios. Admission to Disney's Hollywood Studio for your planetary excursion to Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. Valet parking, exclusive Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser
data band.
Known on your home planet as a magic band. Wow.
Wow. Hey, how much is it going to cost you? Are you ready?
Your arm and your leg.
All right. Galactic Star Cruiser rates vary depending on your voyage departure date and the number of guests in your cabin and cabin type. We look forward to sharing more details when you'll be able to book this experience at a later time. So it's going to start with, this is starting from 2 guests per cabin, which equals $4,809 total.
Mm-hmm.
That is $1,209 a guest per night, if you want to break it down like that. Or 3 guests, which is two adults and one child per cabin, which is $5,299 voyage total, which equals up to $889 per night. Or Kristen, do you want to take a swing at this big one?
4 guests per cabin. This is the weird part. It says 3 adults and one child. $749 per night per person or $59.99. What about the 2 adults, 2 children price?
Well, more on that, they said, at a later time.
Because... I think that's more likely than 3 adults and 1 child.
So AJ in the D Plus Club says, once in a lifetime experience for the select few who can afford it, an out of this world experience at an out of this world price, which is true. So unless your name is Jeff Bezos or, you know, Richard Branson, right, that has the space program, this is out of this world pricing. Hey, but you know what? Look, I mean, roughly, how much is a 3-day, is it 3-day, 2-night Disney cruise? Do they have any of those?
It's still not that much.
Okay, but how much is it?
I haven't priced one recently,
But it's not that. Well, here's the thing to keep in mind. It is a very limited experience. You have a cast of crew of characters. Everything is interactive, just like you're walking into a studio movie set. I would imagine cosplay materials are not included. I think that you're going to get charged more for that. But all the characters you see are in makeup and all the droids and everything. It's going to take a lot to run this little, you know, what I call in Star Trek terms, pardon me if I say Star Trek, a holodeck experience. This is like literally... you're walking into the movie, right?
I hope they have some really cool transportation that they come up with instead of just your normal, you know, Disney bus to get you from the hotel to the park, because mm-hmm. it needs something really cool to go along with everything else that it's offering.
So packages are two-night experiences, includes entry to his Hollywood studios on the days of your, on the second day of your experience. All right. And it includes two breakfast, two lunch, and two dinner meals per guest, with gratuity included for diners, and one quick service meal consisting of one entree and either one non-alcoholic beverage for those 21 year, or is it, what is it? Non-alcoholic beverage, or if you're 21 or alcoholic beverage, depending on your age, of course. So there you have it. So, you know, that's another thing that, that we kind of alluded to on your Dining at Disney podcast last week, was the food. So there it is. So you want to look at the itinerary?
Yeah, let's look at the itinerary.
All right. So you want to break down day one? Day one.
You arrive at the terminal at 1 p.m. And then from 1:15 to 1:30, you launch pad to Star Cruiser. And you have ship orientation from 1:45 to 2:15. I wonder if this is going to be the... Oh, never mind. I see it. Light refreshments from 3 to 3:30. They're...
Sabacc lessons. So you can learn how to play poker, intergalactic poker, like Han Solo and Lando did to win the Millennium Falcon, right?
Yes.
And they sell the Sabacc cards there at Galaxy's Edge, which is cool, which I definitely would like to get some of those cards.
And that's from 3:30 to 4. Mm-hmm. From 4 to 4:30, you have what you have on every single cruise, a muster drill.
lifeboats, life jackets, all underneath this terminal.
That should be interesting. There is
life pods.
Captain's reception from 4:30 to 5. Dinner featuring live music is from 5:30 to 7.
Oh, I can't wait for that. That's exciting.
And then the Outer Rim
Regalia
is from 7:15 to 7:30.
Ooh. I wonder if they're going to have those characters from the Star Wars weekends come in and do the Outer Rim Regalia.
That'd be cool.
Would that be interesting?
Mm-hmm.
What were the names of those characters again? I'm trying to remember. It'll come to me. Then, of course, you have a story moment. Okay. And these are sample itineraries we're giving you the rundown on. Okay. So you have a story moment. So this is where you get to interact with the world of Star Wars by proving your mettle to join an elite smuggling ring. So you could be like Cad Bane or Han Solo or Hondo Ohnaka, which will play out in when you go to Batuu, I'm sure. Or you could stow away some kind of a hitchhiker and help the resistance. So this is where you'll be able to help the resistance, right? From 7:30 to 8. Then you also have bridge training from 8 to 8:45, and then a special atrium entertainment section from 8:30 to 8:45, and then you'll turn in your awesome cabin. Sweet. Day two.
Kristen. Day two, 7 to 8 a.m. is your breakfast. At 8:15 to 8:25, you will take the transport shuttle to Batuu. You will be at Star Wars Rise of the Resistance from 8:45 to 9:30.
Hey, that's a fast pass guaranteed for that price.
And then you have a story moment.
Yes. Do you want to broker a deal or heist with Hondo, possibly? Or arrange to steal a ship from the First Order?
And that's from 9:30 to 9:50.
That's exciting.
At 10 o'clock to 10:30, you'll be at the Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run.
Yep.
Followed by lunch at Cargo... At Docking Bay 7, food and cargo. That's 11:15 to 11:45. And then you will take a transport shuttle to the Star Cruiser at 12:40 to 12:50. So you will be spending half of a day at Disney's Hollywood Studios, mm-hmm, before heading over to lightsaber training from 1 to 1:30. Droid racing competition will take place 2:30 to 2:50. You will build a model ship from 3 to 3:30. You have a tournament at 4 to 5, followed by cocktails at Sublight Lounge, and that's from 5 to 5:30.
Awesome.
And from there, you have Taste Around the Galaxy dinner until 7, followed by a story moment.
Yes. You could put the heist plan into action or bring the stolen ship aboard and watch out for the First Order.
And that's 7:30 to 8:45.
Yes.
And there is a spectacular finale from 10 to 11.
I like it. And then, of course, the next day you have breakfast and then you take the shuttle pod to your terminal. Mm-hmm. So that is just an example of an itinerary. I'm sure they're going to switch some things around, especially on day two, to accommodate certain guests because of those interactive elements. You know, some of them might be changed around. You could experience interactive elements earlier in the day and then go to the park later on in the day, depending on all that, because I would think that a lot of the same cast members would have to walk you through a lot of those same type of story beats, right? So you have three different story beat moments through your two-day cruise. And apparently there's also tailored experiences when you go to Galaxy's Edge that will play out while you're in the park. And the experiences from what we were told, I think, in the behind the scenes of the Galactic Star Cruiser experience on YouTube, that the Imagineers had talked about interactive elements in Riot of the Resistance and the Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run that will be catered to you and your party. So they'll be doing some really cool things in the ride itself to change it out.
So this is going to be more like your high-end cruise line experience.
100%.
So like Uniworld or Celebrity, one of those higher end cruises that people take.
Exactly.
Price wise.
So here's one of the frequently asked questions. Does my Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser have a cabin or suite have a view? And it says, yes, every one of the 100 well-appointed passenger cabins. So there's not a whole lot of space here on this ship, right? 100 well-appointed passenger cabins and suites on the Star Cruiser at least has one window with a view of space in a galaxy far, far away. You'll be fully immersed in your story, relax in comfort, and gaze out into your cabin window as planes, planets, stars, and other breathtaking galactic sights float on past the majestic canvas of the cosmos. You'll fall asleep and wake up among the stars. That's cool. You have to admit, that's cool. And so let's see. There's other things here. Will I encounter characters during my Star Wars intergalactic voyage? You want to read that?
Yes. During your Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser voyage, you won't just encounter new and familiar Star Wars characters. You'll interact with them in ways you've only imagined. They need your help. You'll assist and even join them on daring missions. Characters you meet one day will lead to an amazing new adventure the next day. Explore, play, and discover. Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser is the most immersive Star Wars story ever created.
So fam, I mean, the bottom line is that this is unlike anything else. This is it is a very boutique, you know, kind of thing that you're going to be doing, and highly immersive. And so is it expensive? Super expensive? Yes, no doubt. But think about how many cast members will be leading you through this highly ornate and immersive experience. That's a lot. This is the biggest themed thing ever. My only disappointment is that there are not segments of this that do not happen at Star Wars Galaxy's Edge from the outset of what we were told and promised, which is they release a little bit of these things in little bits and pieces here and there, but it's not the immersion of living your Star Wars story in the park as promised. They promised us.
Okay, so this is the one thing that I can say that Disney does all the time. They do D23, they do this beautiful presentation, big ideas, awesome concept artwork that we get to view. And then that's not what you get, because it's been that way every time they present a new land. Like Pandora was the same way. There's tons of stuff that just didn't. I mean, I can pull up on Dining at Disney, where I had posted about the dining experiences that were supposed to come to Galaxy's Edge, mm-hmm. and they didn't happen. So.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. And a lot of these lounges and restaurants, there was supposed to be a full on sit down restaurant there at Galaxy's Edge, mm-hmm. that we received concept art for. I think they saved it for this. I think they totally saved it for this. So, dining aboard the Star Cruiser, so you can eat in style while aboard the Halcyon Cruiser and welcoming the Crown of Corellia dining room throughout the galaxy for its first-in-class cuisine and live musical entertainment. So it looks very interesting. We talked a little bit about this. We talked about their blue shrimp. We talked about some of the Mustafar frozen lava delights, whatever they want to call it. I mean, it looks like lava rocks, which kind of looks cool. And then you have breakfast and lunch where you have some kind of quiche or something like that. And then you have all kinds of little delectable fritters.
The food looks good. Like, I want to try the food.
Yeah, the food looks great. Hey, Disney, you know, remember us. Don't forget, we're part of your press corps soon. So there's some really cool things. Concept art, all about the concept art posted here for Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser on the Disney Parks website. So there are a lot of really cool things to experience here. This is, once again, not for everybody. And I don't mean to kind of cloud our coverage of what you can expect, you know, and these lists as you plan, you know, with Kristen, your Disney vacation and looking into this. This all looks very, very good, guys.
I mean,
this looks amazing. And the sample itinerary looks really cool for what it is. Is it going to be, you know, is it the Carnival Cruise Line? No, it's not. It's something bigger and different and very immersive to the point where you know, and hopefully they execute it as well. And plus real lightsabers, like, you can't beat that. It's pretty cool, right? You know,
this was not intended for everybody to be able to enjoy when they came up with this idea. It was definitely meant to be for those who have money to burn. So people that are, this is going to be where you're going to see celebrities on board because they have the money for it.
Mm-hmm. Musicians. Yeah, like Kevin Smith and rock bands that love it. Like, you could see, you know, I could see like a Taylor Swift having her own personal adventure there doing these type kind of things, right?
Yes. You know? Actors, executives, doctors, lawyers.
Yeah, Joan says in the chat, it's an awesome experience, but not affordable. This is true. It's not accessible, you know?
These are for the people who can pay for the high-end rooms at Grand Floridian.
Well, and that's the whole point, right? I mean, with all the him and Han going around and for us to, you know, look, if money was not an object, I would love to simply book this experience and bring our babies to Star Wars and have them have their little Disney cruise, take the ankle biters and do your little Star Wars activities with the kids. And then you live out your Star Wars dream and you cosplay as a Jedi Knight or you cosplay as a Batuu person or a flight suit or you get a flight suit. Like, it would be cool, right? I mean, I could see you dressed up like a Jedi, and that's the whole thing. Like, Kristen's whole thing is, I want to do Jedi Training Academy, right? You always wanted to. You are a baton twirler when you were a kid, and you'd love to take a dual bladed Darth Maul style lightsaber and kick some butt on it, right? Uh-huh. Or, you know, like me, I've always, I wanted to be a Jedi too, but I think it would be super cool to be a bounty hunter like a Mandalorian, Boba Fett style, and have some awesome Mandalorian armor and just walk around with the gun and the freaking backpack with a missile and everything.
Well, one of my favorite holidays is Halloween. And it always has been, not just because I like things like villains and horror movies and that kind of stuff, but it's also, I have always liked getting to dress up and play a character. As a kid, I would try and pretend I was whatever I was dressed up as. And so that is something I still enjoy as an adult, which is what we liked about doing Star Wars weekends and being able to get dressed up for that, or Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. Those kinds of things are always, they're always fun to get to be something you're not.
Yeah, Lindsay says, hey, better be able to ride the rides more than once for that price. And Joan says, I bet you don't. And I don't think you will, because they're at this particular point, I think, you know, you would also have to, those ride experiences are going to be tailored specifically for you. It's from my understanding. So when you go into Hondo Ohnaka and you've paid this, like, the animatronic is going to do something different because you and your party are paying that extra price for that. So your experience there for Smuggler's Run will be catered to apparently new scenes that, you know, might be in that ride, which will be great. Stealing a starship would be kind of cool. Or, you know, Rise of the Resistance will be different, could be different as well. So there is that. There'll be special features as part of your story with Star Wars Datapad, which is part of the Disney Parks Play app that is going to be special for you. Lightsaber training, where you square off against one of those training remotes like Luke Skywalker did in A New Hope. This is an interactive activity that is far beyond anything you've experienced before. You can put your skills to the test. Guests must be 7 years of age plus to participate, Kristen. So you can finally pick up that lightsaber, retractable, awesome lightsaber. Bridge training. So you'll get to check out the bridge of the Halcyon Star Cruiser and all of its functions, navigation, power, defense, and other critical systems that help defend you and the rest of the crew there from unforeseen galactical entanglements. This might even come in handy should critical situations arise later in your voyage. Can you imagine the First Order coming in and their explosions happening, and then all of a sudden you have to take over the Halcyon and be like, Kristen, you got to get over to the weapons console. You got to start firing at these people. And then there you go. Everybody's at red alert. And there you are, firing away at the First Order. Or maybe not. Maybe you're a saboteur.
Who knows?
Sabotage. Anyway, and then of course you have your recreation day at Batu, your excursion, and then the Sublight Lounge, which I think is just amazing. So you get to play Sabacc, the poker game, and unwind, wagering a few credits. You could play a casual hand of Holo Sabacc while sipping on a refreshing beverage. I think that looks cool. Very nice. I think it looks amazing. I would love to at some point experience this myself, but I know that it's out of reach for a lot of people. But at least maybe they'll send some press people in there to check it out, and we'll be able to live vicariously through that. I remember when we used to get those calls.
Yes.
I think it's going to be a while now that we have children for us to experience any of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, because the last minute, me taking a flight down to Orlando.
Ain't going to happen anytime soon, guys. You know, but hey, we might be able to send one of our lucky correspondents down there to check out the resort on our behalf, and it'll pain me to see that happen. But regardless, I think it's cool. So anyway, hey gang, what do you think about the Galactic Star Cruiser itinerary? What do you think about the cost? What do you think about the magic key? I think those are all really cool things. I'd love to get your take on it. It would be amazing to see, you know, how those pan out and what your thoughts are on that. We're going to wrap up the show. Thank you so much for tuning in. These are the Disney List must knows for all of those things. Kristen, where can people reach out and follow you on the interwebs?
You can find me at diningatdisney.com, Dining at Disney on all of your favorite social media places. And you can definitely need to check out the podcast on Anchor or your other favorite podcasting platform.
Dining at Disney, great show.
And I do want to mention real quick the winner of our book.
Hey, who is it?
It is Lindsay.
Hey, Lindsay, you won the book.
So
congratulations, you get to win Disney Villains, right?
Yes.
The Disney Villains Cookbook?
Yes. And awesome. Thank you to everybody who commented with their favorite villains. Lindsay, just hit us up. You can hit us up private message via Facebook with your address.
Absolutely.
So we know where to send it.
Congratulations. Thank you for that. Once again, you can book, not only follow Dining at Disney and the awesome podcast wherever you get podcasts, but you can also email Kristen for your next Disney adventure. You're going to the parks, Disneyland.
You're doing the Star Cruiser.
Yeah, if you're doing the Star Cruiser, that'd be great. Yeah. Where can people email you, Kristen?
You can hit me up at themeparksandcruises@gmail.com.
Amazing. Don't forget to follow our sister show, Skull Rock Podcast. We recently had an awesome, awesome podcast with the Lion King. Roger Allers talked about his work being co-director for Lion King. We talked about his work and development early going for Cusco.
Oh my.
You know, initially that was Kingdom of the Sun before it became Emperor's New Groove. So we talked a little bit about that, talked about his work, Little Match Girl, all kinds of Disney stuff with Roger Allers. It's amazing. And coming up on the show, we'll be also having Don Hahn on the show in the next coming week. So it should be amazing. It'll be amazing. Oh, and then next week on the show, too, we're going to be talking about Claude Coates with his son, Alan, and Tony Baxter will be on
nice.
The show. So we've got a lot of Imagineers, a lot of people coming on Disney on Skull Rock Podcast, so be sure to check that out. Also, follow me, Al John Go, on Instagram. Hey, gang, we're out of time. Thank you so much. We hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget to click those bell for notifications on the Disney List on Facebook and interact with us. We do appreciate it. I'm Al John.
And I'm Kristen. And we'll see you real soon.
This podcast is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or its holdings and is intended for entertainment purposes.
Skull Rock Podcast, talking all things Disney with your hosts, Al John Go and Dave Bossert.
Do you just love to learn more about the magic that embodies animated films, theme park attractions, and more? The all-encompassing universe created and produced by the genius of Walt Disney has spanned nearly 100 years and counting.
From his earliest film endeavors with the Laugh-O-Gram cartoons and the Alice comedies, to the creation of Mickey Mouse, to the first animated feature film, Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, and then dreaming of Disneyland, Walt Disney continuously raised the creative bar, and today his company has carried on that tradition as a global entertainment juggernaut. I'm Dave Bossert, artist, filmmaker, and author.
And I'm Al John Goh, musician, podcaster, and radio guy. Every week, Dave and I will explore the entertainment galaxy that is Disney with insightful conversation, stories, and special guests talking all things Disney.
Listen to never-before-heard stories and behind-the-scenes moments from some of your favorite Disney films, theme park attractions, performances, books, music, and so much more from knowledgeable, insightful, and thought-provoking hosts and guests. Hear the latest news about Disney past, present, and future.
Skull Rock Podcast is your go-to source for the magic we all love. Skull Rock Podcast, coming soon. Visit skullrockpodcast.com. I'm Al John Goh, co-host of the Disney List podcast as heard on Sorcerer Radio, as well as Skull Rock Podcast, here with my wife, Kristen. Hello.
Hello.
You are an earmarked agent who books Disney travel vacations for people all the time. Give our listeners a reason why they want to give you a call instead of just booking a trip by themselves.
Well, I can do all of the legwork for them. I have expertise. I've been to the Disney parks well over 100 times, so they've got that knowledge at their hand, as well as it saves them time and money.
Where can people get in touch with you so that they can book their next Disney cruise, Disney park trip, Adventures by Disney?
They can contact me at themeparksandcruises@gmail.com.